I am unashamed. What about you?
So I don't usually talk about products on here unless it's a sponsor.
Here we go.
I found a new water, Jay's.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, we like bottled water. We drink a lot of bottled water. You know, Dad,
well, you know what they say in California? We talked about that last time. The plastic emits some kind of something. So now, no bottled water.
So that's out.
In California, yeah.
Oh, man, let's don't get going to California. They ruin everything.
Hey, get off California and get on Jesus.
Because I was fixing to get back on California. Right. So, but I want to read you what this says, guys. Then I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let you guess. Well, it's at the end. There's a celebrity that makes this water.
Really?
Does this water. Right. So it's called a force of nature. Pure, powerful, perfect. I've never seen anything else in a bottle of water. There's no other way to describe water that erupts from the ground with such clarity and smoothness. Mm-hmm. Filtered through volcanic rock and dating back 23,000 years ago to the last ice age, Seaforce, which is the name of this water, natural artesian water, comes directly from a living, sustainable aquifer deep underneath this person's ranch.
I'm starting to get bored.
To give you the best premium water on the planet, we bottle at the source to preserve the water's minerals and naturally high pH. Seaforce isn't just water. It's whose water? Who do you think would be that bold?
I mean, of all the people in the world?
I told you. Jesus drink.
It's what Jesus drinks.
Madonna?
Chuck Norris.
Oh.
Whoa.
Chuck Norris.
Okay, here's my problem with this. I have about two or three problems with this. Number one, this is the same kind of situation. And I like Chuck Norris, I guess.
I love Chuck Norris. I love me some Chuck Norris.
But you take something God made and act like it's your idea.
No, he's just saying he found it. And it's so awesome.
Well, I know who made it, though.
God made it. But what is so awesome about it?
I thought you were going, the last thing was, this water, you drink it, and you will be resurrected from the dead.
Well, it almost says that.
I know.
Well, I think that Jesus did say that.
Yeah.
I'm the living water.
Yeah, so that's what I'm alluding to.
So yeah. I didn't know this existed.
And they found it in a little ranch that you happen to camp
well,
out
Well, he's going to have to not put it in a plastic bottle. We already discussed that.
But he's from Texas. Who cares about that? So yeah. Chuck Norris, it's the lone – listen to this. This is why I want to read it. You know what his ranch is called? The Lone Wolf Ranch. Jace's nickname.
Name me that for some unknown reason.
So let me tell you.
I think you nicknamed me that because I'm perfectly content by myself. I'm not needy. So
the greatest person you've ever met is you.
He did tell me one day after we left the blind for 2 hours and got back, he said, that was the best discussion or the best time I've had today. I said, what, by yourself? And he said, yes.
Well, that's because
where's your food, Jason?
You gotta realize that the reason I said that, which it was in jest. When we're in a duck blind for 60 days with the same people.
It's a little grumpy.
Does it get grumpy? Because you got Si and Phil who are because Jay and I are out there setting up where we're going to go and how we're going to do it. And we have a plan the night before. But then when we get there, after about a week or two, people are sleep deprived and we're not shooting them like we were. And people start getting frustrated. You know, the weather gets warm. There's nothing I can do about the weather. And then all of a sudden, people start griping and start, like, I wouldn't do that. Why are we here? What?
Does it start to sound like the House of Commons?
I mean, especially Si. It's like the day, you know, he just got on this oxygen, which is making him feel better, which is awesome.
Yeah, he's been needing to get on that.
But it's like last year, you know, we came up with a plan at the dog. The only way to get to the blind was walk. I forgot the reasoning for that, but it wasn't a far walk, 100 yards. Remember, we pulled up by the deer stand, and we walked down to the blind in the southeast corner. Well, we walked about 10 feet. Well, Si starts, like, hyperventilating, and I'm like, Si? And he just turned paler than normal, and I said, do you want me to take you to the hospital? He's like, no, I want you to take me to the blind. I said, Si, the only way I can take you to the blind is on my back. I was kidding. He said, well, turn around here. So I haul that sucker on my back, which I know he doesn't weigh 100 pounds, but still, through the mud, 100 yards, carrying a man and your grip, it is challenging.
It's challenging.
So here was what my point is. So I get him there, sit him down, and then he starts griping about the setup, where we're hunting. And I'm like, I just hauled you 100 yards on my back. You are not allowed to gripe. So when I say that, I need some quiet time. That's what I'm referring to.
Oh, our goal is mistake-free duck hunting. I keep reminding them that. Said, without any mistakes, we can kill 10 or 12 of us.
Can we make a covenant
a lot of truth to that.
Right now to not have that rule this
year? Yeah, let's just have...
Because look, here's my deal.
Some mistake hunting is okay.
Once you get over 70 and out of your prime, I'm nowhere near my prime. Even though I'm 50, I'm the young buck of the crew.
I love when Dad says, you young bucks down there. And I always look down, you know, at our shooting ports, and I'm like, whoo, not really any young bucks here anymore.
There's no young buck.
The youngest buck is a guy on the camera back there.
Because all we're doing is what causes fights and quarrels among you. This is James 4. Uh-huh. You want something, but you don't get it. We're not going to be mistake-free. Look, for one day.
We're past it now.
But remember, that you gave a Bible verse. I'll give one.
Oh, here we go.
Aim for perfection.
Duck hunting is imperfect. You have to do, it's like the stock market. You're never going to get it all right. You just got to get it more right than wrong.
Well, duck hunting is like golf. You know, even if you had, there's no perfect round, right? Because you shoot whatever you shot, but you know there was one more birdie you could have made.
Yeah, remember, Al, there's a lot of factors. I mean, the habitat's got to be right, or you won't even have them to start with. The water level is critical, whether how deep it is. Then you're over there, you better have your blind where they can't see you. Well, you better have your duck calls tuned so you don't make any mistakes on that. But then when you see the ducks, you have to be perfectly motionless. You have to be real still. Any kind of movement, you know, they get pretty slick. Well, then once they get there, it comes down to shooting skills. Once the shooting is over, then you got to have an animal. Hopefully, if he's whining, he's scared some. Your dog jumped too quick. So there's a lot of factors to do it right. And we probably came closer. We made 20 DVDs. And
yeah, there was a day.
That guy yesterday said, I can't find them anymore. He said, because you know, and then you run out of them, one tears up. He said, I'd love to find them. He said, because I learned more about duck hunting from watching y'all for about a 25-year span than words can say.
What he said, Jace, was something interesting I did not know. This was the guy Cole I was telling about. He said there's no streaming service that has our stuff on it. You know, like, you can find almost everything.
He said,
like,
you find Buck Commander.
Because the way it was filmed, now I thought the last thing I told them about that was get it where –
because people don't have a DVD player anymore. I mean, who has a DVD
player?
Talk to
your brother. That's why I tell you. Pay the money to, well,
to convert him over.
I don't care. You know.
You should care. It's your legacy.
I can't help it. I don't care. It was about, I was in it. I feel weird about saying, hey, convert it, you know, so people can watch it when I'm in it. Because it's like I have some selfish reasons.
It only makes sense for the business because then you get a whole new group of people. Like, we're a generation away. Now, think about the young bucks.
By the way, duck call sales, according to Stone, they're up about 40% this year. We don't know whether it's because of the coronavirus.
I'd say so. Sales, I think anything outside.
You got to remember, I've had more conflict at Duck Commander over people getting out of their lane. So it's hard for me to do that because when Willie or anybody, any of his posse, it wouldn't be Willie. He would send a man down there.
One of his
minions. He would walk in and start telling me about duck call design and things like that. And I literally invented this for the commercial, the stay in your lane, bro. I just didn't say bro. I said, you stay in your lane, I'll stay in mine. And there's like, but Willie, I was like, I don't butt Willie this is my department. Stay out of here. You don't know a duck from a goat. If you can't blow a duck call and sound like a duck, I'm not listening to anything you say. So then I can't turn around and go and tell them how to market videos. Because if I did, that's what they're going to tell me. Right. Stay in your lane, even though I think you're
right. I'll try to find a way to work through some minion somewhere.
I just don't.
I mean, I just think it'd be a good idea if everybody's streaming everything.
I think
now,
it's an excellent idea, but I've burned all the bridges.
All right. So I hadn't quite burned them all, so I might have. That'd be like somebody telling me about preaching my sermons. It'd be like, no, wait. You know, you do that with the whatever we're doing, you know, on Sunday. But I the preaching part, me and the Holy Spirit are working that out.
Well,
you know, there's certain things you just don't tell.
I mean, I don't want to go down this road because I have people that will probably be calling me later once they hear that. But I'm like, I designed a duck call that I thought was awesome. So I look up, and this is a redneck saying, but I can't help it. The next thing I know is when it came to be assembled, it was a neon color. And I said, well, why would somebody do this? Why would they take my design and make this glow in the dark when that violates a fundamental rule?
We just talked about that with Doug.
Because now I can't go around and say, look at this awesome call I made. Oh, yeah, I made it fluorescent yellow. So that a duck could see it from Canada and say, stay away from there. There's some glow-in-the-dark stick down there in the middle of the duck. And so
because
I unleashed on them.
The color people, they got this thing about colors, and it bright to the eyes and shines like new money. And it's a sales pitch.
I know why they did. The same reason I met with the women. I think I shared this. I met with a big company at the SHOT Show who made camouflage, and they was one of our sponsors. Well, all their camouflage had their logo in orange or yellow.
Yeah.
And so when I met with them, well, I walked in, I was surprised that it was 10 women, all under 30. That was the team.
Yeah.
They had the camouflage, and I'm their... They're getting
but
ideas
they were
from
all
me.
Ugly, too.
No, they were good-looking women.
Millennial chicks.
Yeah. And
they're going to decide what camo ought to look like.
And I said...
That makes sense.
I said, the first thing I recommend is changing the color of your logo. Look, that was literally like me coming in their lane and saying, you know, I recommend you all go to bed tonight with a rattlesnake. Because they got hot. And they wouldn't hear me out. They said, well, we need that to be the most noticeable since that's our logo. Yep. I said, but ducks will see that logo. And they said, people wear orange when they hunt. We see it on TV. Now, look, they didn't say we understand that's a safety thing in deer hunt. They're like, we've seen that on TV, people wearing orange. I was like... That's deer hunting. We're duck hunters, and we don't wear
deer
orange.
Are supposedly colorblind.
And so, look, one of the women said, well, what happens if you get shot? I said, well, I don't know what that has to do with anything, but you'll die, probably. Maybe you'll be injured. She's like, what if one of the other duck hunters shoots you?
Yeah, from a foot and a half away, yeah. Yeah, it's not going to go well. That's
so sure. I looked around, and I said, you know what? I think this meeting is over. Whatever y'all want to do is fine with me.
I think that ended the Jason, the long-legged chicks having a meeting. Let's take a break. So, Dad, what's the worst thing about being almost 75?
The worst thing about it?
Yep.
Knowing that the average age of a male in the United States is 77 years old.
Sometimes you look at the clock and think, man.
Well, like that guy said, the old clock on the walls is that's about all.
Oh, y'all. Yeah. So I thought you might say
74, 75, you're like 6, 7.
I thought you might say inflammation. But,
one of these days, boys.
But that's probably worse than inflammation. So one of the things that happens to all of us as we get a little older and a little more brittle is inflammation. You know, it basically is the cause of most of our aches and pains, as we say, and those get worse as we get older. One of the products that that we really like that Dad and I take that has helped with the inflammation. They can't give any more years on the clock, but at least it can make the ones here.
I don't
good.
Think none of my any of my body is inflamed. So whatever you want to make out of it, but I have
mine's
no,
definitely not.
I have nothing that's inflamed about me.
I don't take
maybe
ibuprofen.
Except my tongue every once in a while.
I don't take ibuprofen.
As a wise man once said, "You'll die healthy."
That's right. So here's how you get this product. It's called Omega XL. We've talked about it quite a bit on the podcast. You go to omegaxl.com/fill. You're going to buy a bottle of these wonderful taken from muscle pills. It's natural. It's great. And you get a second one free, which is really good. So omegaxl.com/fill, or you can go 800-844-4888. That's 800-844-4888, and relieve some inflammation. All right, so to wrap up where I started with that rabbit we just chased with Chuck Norris. So about 3 years ago, I was in an event, Lisa and I were there, and we ran into Governor Huckabee. And we're talking, catching up, and he said, "Hey, I'm fixing to go over to. They're gonna have a surprise 75th birthday party for Chuck Norris."
Is he 75?
He was 75 3 years ago.
Oh,
he's like 78 years old. And so I was like, "Yeah, I've never. I want to meet. I love Chuck Norris." And so we went over there. So we went in with the governor, and so we meet he and his wife. So he's Chuck Norris. He's 75 years old. This is his birthday party. Still put together. I mean, he could have.
Wow, he sells. Workout.
Oh, I know. He could have beat the crap out of me with his mustache. You know, that's how that's. But anyway, so but he's married to a woman. She looked like she is about 50. Nice looking lady, but about my age, mine and Lisa's age. And they had 15-year-old twin boys, he told me.
Oh, wow.
At 75. Can you imagine having
but
a twin son?
All these memes about Chuck Norris, that's how you get them.
Oh, exactly. Now, he had a little work done because you get in there close and on the face and stuff. You know, he'd had to. He hit it, that neck was still.
I've thought about this before. You know, they had the most interesting man in the world, which he did beer commercials, and you had Chuck Norris. Those are the only two I know of that became a meme for all kind of ridiculous statements.
That's right.
It's like they're so cool.
That's right.
Add your own.
That's right. Whatever they, it is.
Yeah,
mosquitoes won't bite him, but out of respect.
That's right.
Yeah, stuff like that. Which I've thought. That's the only two people I know of. Yeah. Are there any other that you know of?
I don't know. I mean, I feel that way about.
But I'm like, I've always thought that should be Jesus. But if you did it, people in the religious world would say it was sacrilegious.
Right.
But it's really not.
Yeah.
He actually invented that meme idea before that. You don't even know what I mean by meme.
So here's what was cool about it. So
like
here I am, Chuck Norris, who I've watched his movies when I was a kid. You know, he's like, I really admire the guy. And then he says, oh, he tells me his 15-year-old twin boys, and he was like, they love Duck Dynasty. They just watch it all the time. You know, he said, you know, so your family's on our house all the time, which was cool to me because I'm like, you know, somebody you like and respect, and they're like, hey, my kids love your show. And so then he tells me about this new project. I said, well, what are you doing these days, Joe? Because we're kind of in like a little green room. So I said, what are you doing these days? You know, you still make TV? And so I said, you know, I got my workout stuff and all this. And he said, but you know, I'm really excited about this new project. I found an artesian well on my ranch. So he's telling me about this three years ago.
That's legit.
It's legit. And he said, and we're going to bottle that. Well, he says, the best water you've ever drank. I said, really? I said, well, I have to be on the lookout for that. And so it just came out, I guess. It's the first time I've ever seen it. So this is, I'm going to start drinking.
And you drank it?
Yeah, it's delicious.
Oh, okay.
It's really good. Because we usually drink Ozarka, which is pretty good. But
yeah, I may try it.
So anyway, let's get to John.
Well, my segue was that Jesus, because he truly could do the impossible, because they're meant to be funny, which I don't know. Chuck Norris, I guess, because he was a man's man in all the movies.
Well, and he was a, you know, people like fighter, like he was a kickboxer and all that, and he just seemed like a cool guy. And somebody said, you know, he's very humble though, but Jay was telling me, or somebody was telling me, it was Ken yesterday, that he said the only time I ever heard him say it, they said, well, what would have ever happened if you'd have fought Bruce Lee? He said, I'd have kicked his butt. You know, I mean, he didn't even like bat an eye. He was like, you know, so, and you know, think
but
of
he's
Bruce
Chuck Lee. Norris. So
he is Chuck Norris. He can say that. He's got the stash. So we're in John 17.
Well, I thought you were going to do the listener question first, which caused a bit of a debate before we started this podcast.
Well, yeah, because the first verse says in John 17:1, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. And so I put a listener question here. In fact, it's more than one have asked me this, but I put it in these notes. Because they asked, why would Jesus pray to the Father if they're both God?
It is a fantastic question.
It's an excellent question.
Phil asked me before we started filming, and I wouldn't ask. I said, it'll be a surprise, because I thought about that for 2 days. Because this is like a timeout in John. All of a sudden, you're seeing Jesus as the invisible image of God.
Right.
And he keeps saying, I'm from the Father. The Father and I are one. He pointed to the Father the entire book.
Yep.
You've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Father's in
all
me.
All the writers of the gospel, it's in all of them.
So I didn't read this. I didn't research it. I just thought about it for 2 days. I thought, why did he have the prayer?
And remember, just for me to reset, because it's been a while since we've been in John. So the timeline of where we are, we've had the Last Supper, and Judas is gone. You know, he's about to commit suicide. And this is Jesus praying just before he's going to be arrested. So the ordeal is about to begin. So that's kind of the timeline of where
we're at. And even to finish verse 1 before I say what I think, he says, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, which would be him.
Yep.
That your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority, which him is him, which is weird. Because it kind of gets weird here. So thus people ask the question,
right.
Well, wait a minute. I thought he had some kind of interconnection
right. Already.
Why is he praying? Now this is, then he gets to, which my favorite verse, I think, in the book of John, verse 3 of 17. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent.
Which is himself.
Which is himself, which I know this has gotten weird. We've like taken a time out.
It's almost like he's talking third person.
And he said, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Which now makes a little more sense.
Because he just put himself back in.
So I was with you. And then you read, you know, Philippians 2, but he emptied himself, which I think we've said multiple occasions. He became a man because God can't die.
Correct.
And he just didn't come down here to save man. He became a man.
That's right.
Which, by all...
And by the way, that was from conception forward. So he didn't just show up, you know, one day as a full grown man. I mean, he went through the whole process
he
of a baby.
He sweated, he had BO.
That's right.
However far you want to go down that, he became a human.
A person.
And by... the more you read this Bible, the more you realize that was a step down, which flies in the face of this humanistic belief on our planet.
That we're the top of the chain.
And we'll probably get into the rest of this later, but I don't know how far we'll go. Well, then he prays for his disciples. And, well, hang on, I'll finish the synopsis. And then he prays, which there's very few times in the Bible that directly speaks to you, present day.
Yeah,
I believe this is one of those times.
Correct.
When he gets to verse 20, he says, my prayer is not for them alone, which was his disciples, who will. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, and that all of them may be one. And he wasn't talking about a Joe Biden. I'm praying for unity, because unity is found here. Doesn't matter what color you are, where you were born, what
you
did. What
your political beliefs are, nothing.
There is a path in Jesus where perfect unity occurs. And so that's the gist of it. Now, before Phil gives his take, you say, well, why did he do it? I believe he did it to show his true heart. If the answer is to eternal life is that they may know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, who you've sent, it's hard to know somebody, especially something invisible. Because now fast forward here to this day. So Jesus set a precedent that I think he did all these things. He said all these things. And now he's praying, even though he doesn't have to. He didn't have to do that. But he became a human. And there's a plan where he's fixed to die, be buried, and raised. And it all makes sense once he dies and buried and raised, even what he prayed here. Yeah. It really didn't make sense at the time. And why is he even doing it? But I thought the only thing I could conclude is it shows his deep down heart. Even though God the Father knew everything that he said, he didn't have to say it. But his heart came out of this, and everything about it to me makes him lovely and believable.
Yep.
Everything he said in this prayer. I think this is a prayer that you will read for the rest of your life and never really grasp the power of it. So that's what I think.
All right. So, Dad, let's take a break before you go. So one of our sponsors that we talk about quite a bit is called Patriot Mobile. And basically, they're a, to have phone service. But what their thing is unlike Verizon or AT&T or some of the big ones, is that they're a conservative company. And so they always, talk about how the big corp, especially in this area, give a lot of money to a lot of causes that the three of us in this table don't agree with, and probably a lot of our listeners as well, Planned Parenthood being one. So one of the good things about it, if you decide to go with these guys, you never have to worry about that, and they'll give you the opportunity to switch over if you'd like to give them a try. PatriotMobile.com/Phil, or you can give them a call at 972-PATRIOT. You're going to get a free activation and a special gift with the offer code Phil. So that's PatriotMobile.com/Phil. You get to keep your phone number, keep your own phone, or you can get a new one if you want to, or that's 972-PATRIOT if you want to check these guys out.
Well, you have Hebrews. Jesus appears, the Son, Hebrews 1:3, is the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of his being. So you have two entities, two essences that are God. Jesus is God, but the way it's worded, after he had provided purification for sins, like Jace was alluding to, then it became, it's the mystery is being unveiled here. That's why it's called the mystery of the gospel he purposed in Christ before the beginning of time. So there's a pecking order, if you will. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. To which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I've become your father"? There's a closeness there between Father, Son, Spirit, and the angelic world. It surpasses them, because a lot of people in the first century, especially, they were kind of big on angels. So he's thwarting that thinking.
Yep.
Or again, I will be his father, he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn, Jesus, into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." So he's God through and through. But there is a little difference in the two. And speaking of the angels, he says he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever." Now, this is about the Son. He, God, says, "Your throne, O God," God's calling him God, "will last forever and ever. The righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom." This is interesting. "You have loved righteousness," Jesus, "and hated wickedness," that's Jesus. "Therefore," check this out, "therefore God," your God, the Father, "has set you," the Son of God, "above your companions." way bigger than human beings, but immortal, preexistent, forevermore creator God is going to make his companions on par with God here. We become immortal.
Right.
We get immortality out of this. Well, that's God sent Jesus. He beat death. You say, he's immortal. Death couldn't keep its hold on him.
Right.
And he's providing that for everyone. But for him, before Jesus became flesh, he was there. Creation for sure.
Yep.
Through him, all things were created.
Right.
Well, you get to about 5,000 or so years by my count, all of a sudden, he becomes flesh. The Philippians writer, the Apostle Paul, said he made himself nothing, taking on like a servant. Mm-hmm. Well, how in the world could you get God serving his fellow men, the ones he created? You're like, so when it all ends, he's raised from the dead, went back to heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty, and he said, that one, that majesty, he sent me to do this. We are one. We'll fix it so that you will become one with us, but each in his own turn. Jesus, the first fruits, yep. And then the rest of us. Well, if you get to looking at it, all I can come up with for sure is, God, I wrote it down, God knows everything, and I don't. And I'll alert the audience here today, and neither do you. You say, I don't know everything. No. Well,
but you know God through Jesus and through prayers like that is my point.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, he got to the end of that prayer, and he said in verse 25, Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me.
Yeah.
I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So I'm like, you ask a question, well, why is Jesus praying to God? And I'm like, because I get to know God through Jesus and through this prayer. It's the same way on, you say, well, why do you pray today? You don't think God already knows what you need? Yeah. But it's a way for me to show my heart. That's why when you think of the stories and the parables that Jesus told, you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's like, when you pray, don't go out on the street corner so everybody will hear you and they think that you'll be heard because of your many words. And you know why? Because you can fake that. You know, and you hear these people drone on, and they're like, you get the impression that the reason this guy's praying is because he likes the sound of his own voice, which is true.
True.
And you can fake it.
Right.
But he's like, go into your room and pray so your Father who sees what is done in secret. And so what does all that mean? What that means is God knows your heart.
Right.
But for you to know God's heart, you have to have moments like this, in my opinion, where you see Jesus, his motivation here. Because he talks about glorifying God. He talks about protecting his disciples, which I read over that. But in verse 11 of 17, he said, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, talking about his disciples. And then he says, and I am coming to you, Holy Father, but here's the phrase I wanted to get to, protect them by the power of your name. So he was praying for God to protect them once he leaves, which I thought was awesome, because the fact that Jesus Christ is praying for his disciples, I mean, here he's the creator of the universe, he's showing that humility that you mentioned,
right.
Even by praying for protection over them. He said, well, what happened to them? They all died.
Right.
You're like, well, did he not get it right?
Right.
But he was praying for protection from the evil, because death is not a problem. He just proved that. But evil is. And that's why he went into this, I only lost one. I mean, do you agree with what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
The only thing that matters in life is what side you decide to participate in. You can say, you know what? forget Jesus. I'm going to have as much fun, or you can call it whatever you want to, and you follow the ways of the evil, and there's a lot of it that you can get involved in. But Jesus was praying for protection from that, because if you miss him on a cross and his resurrection, well, you missed it.
Yep. So hang on, Dad. Let's take a break. So a lot of you ask about merchandise that you see on here. One is, of course, our Unashamed mugs. There's T-shirts. Then we got this newest one was I Ride with Jesus, which is one of the lines from Dad's book, Jesus Politics, which, by the way, there's been a surge in book sales, which is awesome. I guess it's probably fitting into the theme of, again, the book totally speaks into what we're looking at, because politics is a mess. But if you put Jesus in the middle of it, you're going to find something good. So Amazon.com, if you hadn't picked up a book. But for merchandise for the show, including this shirt that you can buy now, you can go to Unashamed Merch, Unashamed Merch, one word, MERCH.com. And there you can get the beard mug. We got hats. They got shirts, sweatshirts, and this sort of thing. So check those guys out. UnashamedMerch.com if you want some of the stuff that you see on the podcast.
Another point to remember for the God that's described in the Bible, omnipresent, that's everywhere, cosmically, everywhere at once.
No time, no space.
Omnipresent, omnipotent, all-powerful.
Yep.
Omnipresent, what's the other one? Omniscient, all-knowing.
All-knowing.
All of a sudden.
Well, and eternal.
Yeah, eternal. All of a sudden, you're going to have that God become a human. He's going to come in flesh.
Yeah, one aspect of him. That's
yeah.
Right.
As in Adam all die, 1 Corinthians 15:22, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, the reasoning behind his death, burial, and resurrection that he just covered in chapter 15, 1 through 4. Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, was buried, and was raised. That's happening to God, the God of heaven who came down. And it's interesting, and Christ the first fruits, he pulled it off. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. Well, if you got God walking around on a dusty road that he made, dirt, he made the planet, he's walking around on it, he's going to the bathroom, he's eating meals, you're like, how in the world could that be God? I mean, you can imagine everybody looking, Peter and him saying, you're going to do what? He said, I'm going to die. In 3 days, I'll be raised from the dead. That's why I'm here. They're like, never. Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. But he's in a human body. Then the end will come, and the context is the end of all time. When he, Jesus, hands over the kingdom, that's us, to God the Father. He's given us to the Father. Well, if you look at that, you say there's two distinct roles there. Correct. That's being played by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. After he's destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, you got to remember, you say, the whole thing gets right down to the resurrection. For he must reign until he's put all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now watch. Now when it says that everything had been put under him, it's clear that this does not include God himself. So somehow within the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the essence of God, he's one, but there's three distinct roles within that Godhead.
Correct.
I'll be the first one to tell you, that's why I said some things I just don't really know, get a good grip on, and neither yeah. does but, our audience but, actually know exactly how that works. So,
but think about it. What are you doing when you pray? What actually is occurring?
They accused me one time and told me I couldn't pray. A group of people who were non-Christians, who were the film crew that filmed Duck Dynasty,
oh boy,
sent word to me that I couldn't pray in the name of Jesus. But I was praying to God the Father, the same one Jesus prayed to.
Well,
and I was praying.
That by the way, why I asked you that question is because what you do when you pray is you're declaring that God is real.
Yeah.
And so just think about this.
I took a stand on it, by the way.
People don't believe. So in that situation,
I had unbelievers.
We were gathered around. Well, they thought that was absurd. And then they thought, because of viewership, they're like, well, what if somebody doesn't believe in Jesus? It's okay to have your little prayer, but don't do it in the name of Jesus, because if people don't believe in Jesus, we don't want them to turn the channel off.
That's right.
But what they didn't realize is we believe that Jesus is real, and therefore we believe that God is real,
the Father. Believe that Jesus gives us access to the Father and the Holy Spirit.
And yeah. we believe that as the only lawgiver and judge, the one who can save and destroy, I was praying in his name. That's why when I prayed again, the first thing I said was, I pray that you give us time to help these poor souls down here that don't want me to pray in the name of Jesus to you, Father. Give us time to maybe help them so they won't end up in the fires of hell itself.
Well, right.
It didn't go over well, but they got off of the don't pray in Jesus' name.
And they left.
They got off of it.
I got up to speak one time, and the first line of my sermon was, I leaned in. I waited. You know, I like the silence.
Yeah.
Because everybody's looking.
It gets people.
Especially people don't know you. They're like, I bet this is going to be good. And I'm just looking at them. They're looking at me. And I said, I believe in ghosts. And everybody laughed. And then I said, I'm not kidding. And my point was, I said, I believe in one. The Holy Ghost. You know, now we call him the Holy Spirit. But at one time, it was 100 years. Everybody talked, oh, yeah, I
was longer than 100 years.
I got the Holy Ghost.
The King James, that's the diversity.
So, but what my point is, when I said that, that seemed funny to people. I'm not throwing them under the bus.
Right.
Well, I was shocked they laughed.
Yeah.
Because I thought they would know where I was going.
Well, they laughed because that's the last thing they thought you'd start with. That's why they laughed. So I got two illustrations that I think play into what you both said. One is, I've always seen a human being, since we're made in the image of God, as a perfect example of how we're made up of three parts that are equal, but at the same time they play different roles. I mean, we call it body, soul, and spirit. The spiritual nature of who we are. Why do people have a conscience? Why do people wonder about a creator? Why do people look at evolution and say, I'm not so sure about that?
Worldwide.
So that's a component of who you are. It's that soulish nature of who we are.
Well, it helps explain.
So then you've got a spirit, which is your animating force, because if a person dies, where'd the spirit go? Where'd the soul go? You can't be a living person without all three. And, of course, the third is your body.
They almost seem to just fly away.
Yeah, exactly. And so you can't be alive without those three components. But you wouldn't say one is inferior to the other.
No.
I mean, the Greeks tried that.
The question is, well, why? And to make this an illustration, I'll give you an illustration. Y'all can answer. So why do you pray for forgiveness if God's already forgiven you? Because the question was, well, why is Jesus praying to God if he is God? So I'll say, why do you pray for forgiveness if you've already been forgiven?
Because your heart, because you want God to know.
Because we have a relationship here.
Remember,
this is real.
And the reason you're right, let's take a break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated, so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
The reason you're right is because remember what he prayed for. God, I want you to get glory. Get glory in what? What I'm about to do. Remember, he came to die.
Well, he said, I've completed the work.
Right.
But he actually was fixing to complete the work. Exactly,
to lead up to the moment. Because let's face it, the death of Jesus and then the resurrection is the game changer. So what he said is, I've got it right up here to the...
Changes everything.
And I kind of misspoke. We always just put it just on the cross and the resurrection. We tend to. But it's actually bigger than that because it's who he is.
That's right.
So the completing the work is becoming, he became a man. He already knew what he was going to do. But that was the work, right? that you get to know Jesus, who's on the cross. If you didn't know who's on the cross, a lot of people died on crosses, I'm sure. Well, what made this different?
And by the way, a lot of people did miracles over the course of human history through the Bible that weren't Jesus.
That's right.
So it wasn't just that he had power to do a miracle. A lot of people say, because he was the Son of God, he could do miracles. Miracles have been around since the beginning. I mean,
prophets. He gave that ability.
Exactly.
Yeah, and God did too. There's been
and it happened after happened. Jesus. I mean, some of those.
Even today, some people, I take issue when they start talking about miracles because I'm like, there's a difference in a miracle and something supernatural happen. You know, a miracle, you don't have an arm, you have one immediately. That's a miracle. It's something even anyone, whether believer or not, would say, well, that's not possible.
Jew or atheist.
Or.
And look, and they were going to be even back in the Old Testament to a widow woman comes in, and every morning she comes in, her bottle of oil is full, and nobody put any in the jar.
Well, the reason I get so upset about this is I'll go to these church assemblies, and they'll say, you ready for a miracle today? And I'm like, all right, we think it's a miracle. I'm getting on the edge of my seat. And then they'll pray, and they'll say, well, somebody was healed. I'm like, that's day-to-day operations. That wasn't a miracle. That's normal. What I'm saying is we should be excited that is normal. We have God on our side. We believe things that happen, especially as many people as we've prayed for in the cancer world and the kid world. We see this stuff all the time, but we don't come on here and say, look, God is working. We've seen it happen over and over and over and over, and we have.
Right.
Because still, that's not the motivation. You can't prove this and try to convince from an argument that this is real.
Right.
That's why I think he prayed.
They're going to say he got lucky and got better.
Well, right. And what about the ones that died? People died. Well, we've already covered that. That's not a problem. Going down the evil road, that's the problem. Because then you don't win anything.
So I got another illustration. And we've talked about this one before. You find it in Ephesians 5. So when you and Missy got married, you were two, and you became one, correct?
Right. I thought you'd fix that. I was 2 years old. I was like, what?
You were two, and you became one. Yeah. And so would you consider Missy your equal? Is she a lesser human being than you are?
Yeah. Well, for a week, I thought I was the big man. You know, I'm in charge.
It
lasted a week. I thought I'm superior. So I'm being honest.
That didn't hold too long.
After a week, I thought, why did I have this list of things for her that she was going to do? Because I thought being the husband, being the head of the household, which is how I interpreted it, I thought that meant I dictate policy. Right. From every detail.
And you, honey, comply.
That lasted a week. So then I, in a loud voice, after I realized this was not going to work, the only time I raised my voice is I finally told her, I said, lower your expectations.
That's what you call, you know what you call that, Jace? That's called the rudeness of reality.
Yeah. I wised up and realized that I have flaws, and I needed to focus on Jesus.
So here's my point.
Which is, what's your
question? So, right, so Ephesians 5:21, when he starts into discussion about roles in a marriage between two people that have said, we're going to marry one another, and we're going to be one person, one unit, which is pretty amazing. And so he starts that by saying, submit to one another as you submit to Christ. So you're equal. She's not lesser, and you're not lesser or more.
Let me say this.
But then she, because I know Missy, she asked you at some point, or she let you know that she wanted you to lead your family and lead her.
Oh, yeah.
Despite
my flaw. I mean, despite me being ridiculous.
That's my point.
By the way, Ephesians 5:22, since you hit defeat, this is what you just said, it's a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ in the church.
That's my
However,
point.
Each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself.
Right. Which is why he
said, this is a mystery. And hey, look at the marriages in this world. And you say, oh, it's a big mystery.
Right.
But you know, every time I hear one of the most prized memories and experiences, because that's what this is really about. We're experiencing Jesus in this prayer because we think this is real. And it does something to me, especially when he starts talking about love at the end, when he was like, this is all about love, me loving. We are love. But when my wife prays, there's something about her soul coming out through that prayer. She's a real good prayer because it's not like a list of things. It's a conversation that, I don't know if you ever heard my wife pray. But
I have, but and you know why? It's back to what you said earlier, and you're right, because you hear the true heart of a person, in prayer. That's the moment, you know.
She's not praying like a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of leaders in men, where it's like it's a, I don't know what to say about it. It's like what Jesus was chastising the Pharisees.
Yeah, you just
for.
Want it to be a heartfelt.
It's like because women. Especially my wife. I mean, she's more emotional than I am. And the prayer's more emotional. It's more of a soulful conversation. But every time she prays, I thought, man, I love this woman. You know, I mean, I love God because of what he does. But there's something that's revealed
which
in her
heart.
Which
is why you want to pray. I mean, which is the point of prayer, which we didn't get into all that in the text. So I add one more element to it in our last couple of minutes. Then you two decided to have a child, and Reed comes into the world. Now, Reed, you trained him to submit to your authority. And what happens is when they get up to be about a teenager, then it starts to get dicey because they're becoming their own person. Again.
No, I'll confess my sins in front of, you know, the world. I was too hard. Now, what lasted a week in my marriage, probably lasted 2 or 3 weeks, lasted for years with my first child. I was too hard on him because I was like, everything I saw people do, I thought, I'm going to get this right. I'm not screwing this up. So my heart was right, but I was too hard on him because you got to realize. And then finally, one day when he was a teenager, I had a light bulb moment. And I thought, I've been too hard on this kid.
Right.
I think I gave you a little advice.
I think you said that.
I said, you don't want to exasperate him.
Yeah. And so when I backed off, though, is what I'm saying.
A father do not exasperate.
So my point
children.
Is, Jace, so you got a husband, you got a wife, then you had a son who's now an adult, and he has his own wife and his own life. Mm-hmm. Everyone there made a decision. You were all equal human beings, but you put yourself under the other to accomplish goals. And illustratively, it's exactly what Jesus is describing here. He and the Father and the Spirit are one. They were there before we even came along, but they all took a role in submission to each other to get mission accomplished.
Well, so you keep going to the theological side of which you're right. I agree, and I think it's all because people have so much trouble just wrapping their head around the idea of it, which you're doing. I keep going back to the prayer itself because I thought it didn't really make – he didn't have to do that.
Nope.
He didn't. And it that's where the confusion happened. It's because it's like, well, why? Wait a minute. Why, if he's God, why is he praying to himself? This is getting weird. That's why I keep going to the heart of it all. Yeah, he didn't have to do it. But he didn't even have to become a man.
That's right.
So it's going to come back down to love, experience. It wasn't, I'm saying they have the roles and you're given the way that it's possible how they exist. I'm giving you the way, the why.
That's right.
It's a heart thing that you fall in love with and experience, even though you don't really understand exactly the details of how this creature
works. You have to have the realm in your mind, the possibility of why it's happening.
Let's face it, Al. It's one of the wildest reads you ever want to get into.
You know, if you were an atheist, if you were an atheist and you're reading the book of John trying to stomach this, when you get to John 17, you're going to have to throw everything out the window and say, you know what? This is just a cool, this is an awesome creature. Because to come up with this, to insert this in here to me is really so amazing that nobody would do that. They would just wouldn't They wouldn't get this humble, is what I'm saying. They wouldn't be this humble.
So so next time, when we move into the next phase of this, which is fixing to get pretty dicey for Jesus as we go forward, we'll talk about maybe the why.
Arrested. Have you ever been arrested?
I have not. Have you?
Well, I'm going to think about that. I've been accosted.
You never got arrested, did you? Do that?
I wasn't arrested.
I never actually. They, you know, get out on the pavement. Stretch out on the pavement.
Yeah, that's I meant. Stuff like that.
And then DWI, whatever, but not arrested. Just
I was wrongfully
just fined down
the
about $300.
Well, I didn't do it, but you know they thought.
Well, save that story for next time.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.